serious a little bit. Basically what happened is, Yeshiva told me once that he felt that in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Vayera, there's a shmooze that he felt that of all his shmoozim, perhaps it was the most insightful. Yeah. It doesn't mean the most, but it was very, like a tifer shmooze. Very, very insightful and important. So I was going to say it over. I'm thinking about it. I think what we first need is a little bit of introduction to explain what a shmooze is. What are the purpose of a shmooze? And that's a little bit of a say. Of course I know that. I've been listening to shmoozing for 15 years. I know, so, but I'm not sure everyone knows. So I want to explain a little bit. I want to get to that tremendous chiddush that Rashiva said. But before I get there, one of the big, in the shmuzim, there's only certain topics. In the shmuzim, if you go listen to Rashiva shmuzim or anybody shmuzim in the yeshiva, you will notice that there are certain topics, like groups of topics, that are repeated over and over again. One of the topics that they deal a great deal with, that's what this Sefer talks about also, says here, Da'as Ashbacha, that the Bawi Musar felt, this is what I was talking to in one of the Musar groups, that most people do not understand themselves. And they sure likewise don't understand other people. If you don't understand yourself, you can't work on yourself, can't improve. If you don't understand other people, you can't be a Rebbe. So basically, what the Musar Shmuzim do in that area is, how do you understand? You give like in school, you give, you know, if you want to teach someone medicine, so you take some dead bodies and you operate on them. And then you see, this is, you know, you can't explain in theory. You have to take a body, you open up, here's a heart, here's a heart. So that is what we do. We take the stories in the Torah with the Chazal, and we operate, and we show, we're trying to understand ourselves. They say it's hard to understand ourselves, but let's try and understand Avraham Avinu. And we believe that the axiom of the Bawi Musar is that all human beings, whether you're a tzaddik or a rasha, their basic are the same. Which is, one's a tzaddik, one's a rasha, but the same midos. Now, just like Avram had two eyes and Haman had two eyes, physically, the same human body. Right now, one guy has two eyes, one has four eyes. So the same midos that Avram had, Haman had, except Avram, these midos were stronger and these were weaker, and vice versa. But the human being doesn't change. It's one of the axioms of the Bawi Musar. The human being, just like he hasn't changed in 5,000 years, whatever it is, that he has the same physical body. So it's same spiritual body, same midas. It could be there are things called giants, which means it could be a bigger person. But giant just makes it easier to study. So you know, you don't need a microscope. So if Avraham Avinu was a giant, it makes it easier for us to see it, because everything that Avraham Avinu had was enlarged. His tzitzkus was enlarged and called Godem Mechavero Yitzra Godem Menu. So, and Haman and Paro also bigger Rishon than us. But we're basically doing in a Musar Shmuzim, many of the Musar Shmuzim, I don't know if that's the only purpose of a Musar Shmuz, but many, many of the Musar Shmuzim, the focus is we're doing a case study in psychology to understand this, what happened here. Now, why is that people don't, I sort of skipped because I'm not organized, of course. Why would they, most people don't understand themselves? What does that mean, they don't understand themselves? The first thing they don't understand themselves, they don't even know where they're holding. Here, he brings a mice. He talks on the same point. I just happened to open the Sefer up today. And he says, it's all about Da'as Atma. It's one of the main themes of Bawi Musar. He gives an example. He says he was at a simcha. And a guy went over and he wanted a cup. There was no glasses, clean glasses. So he took a glass that someone else drank from and he washed it out and he used it to drink. So another person starts screaming at him. What are you doing? You know, your mevaza, your friend, you wash it out. What, it's dirty because the other guy used it? Well, you're insulting him. You're insulting people, you know? You know, where's your Avas Yisrael? Your Avas Yisrael, you'll be ready to drink from his cup, you know? You wouldn't be with his germs, you know? You insulted him, your lack of Avas Yisrael. You're something wrong with you. Right? Okay. Now, he says that I happen to know that this guy who was screaming is a ganav and a crook. And in business, he steals from people left and right. And he's the if you want to know anyone who lacks Avas Yisrael, it's him. So, but that's typical, right? You know, he thinks he's a big love of Avas Yisrael. And you don't know the, you know, and really, in reality, of course, the guy washed a cup just because he has one of a dirty cup. It's not, it doesn't mean he lacks Avas Yisrael. But you're the guy that has Avas Yisrael. So very often that I told the guys, and we were doing in a Musar group, that people who are very often tone deaf don't know that they're tone deaf. So people that have a midera, they think everyone's like them. So they think that they're the norm, they're the standard. Right? If I'm nikshu in a certain aveira, I just assume everyone else is nikshu in that aveira, and therefore this is normal. So if I'm not about gaiva, this is just normal. Everyone's like that. I'm not selfish. Everyone's like that. I remember and this is not exaggerated, the guy, I think, in the yeshiva, who in my recollection was like the most selfish guy in the yeshiva, thought he was the biggest Baal Chesed of the yeshiva. Because he made a gamach, bought a water pitcher. Now, of course, he was makbid gomer than anyone else should make a gamach, like, to compete with his gamach. Here's the sales go. But okay. Anyway, the Maisa, he was an extremely selfish guy. Like everything in his room had Machbid Gomer, Machbid Gomer. But he thought it was a big Baal Ches. So that very often. So people don't know themselves. The second thing, even if they much more delicate, which is much finer, is even if you know yourself, you don't know why you're doing what you're doing. Right? The classical example that the Rishiva gave, which has been said many times, either Shiva has a shmooze by Dina. But basically, with skipping the shmooze, just say the vart. There are people that walk around not happy. Right? Many people are not happy. So the Shiva claimed that especially by women, a person is not happy because they lack self, they feel lack of self-respect, especially a woman. That's an inborn part of a woman. Kol kvoda bas melech pnima is an inborn midah in women. Not necessarily by men, but by women. Women have that midah. Therefore, Rishiva insisted that when a woman walks not sneezing down the street, she's causing herself to be depressed. Because she knows that people are looking at her, and it's destroying her self-esteem. You're seeing people in a not in a, walking around naked, so even half naked, three quarter naked, one quarter naked. It's an insult to your prestige, and by a woman, it's degrading, it's devaluating, and it makes you depressed. Ay, kasha maisa. All the women in the world, you know, are buying all these natsnias clothing. Why are they buying natsnias clothing if it makes them depressed? So she said a very simple answer. Because they don't know that it's making them depressed. They think it's making them happy. Because they think that they become happy because they listen to the whatever, that's what everyone thinks. That if men stare at you, wow, you're a movie star. And you get happy, you get esteem, you're getting, if you win the Miss America contest, you're the happiest person in the world. If you're a star, a movie star, sure, you're the happiest person in the world. She insisted that movie stars, especially women movie stars, are the most depressed people in the whole world, because if they're acting in movies and non-sneistically, then that really destroys their self-esteem. And that's why he insisted women movie stars always commit suicide, but a lot of them. But he insisted that they will be the least happiest people in the world. But they're not attuned. You know, he based that upon a chazal, whatever. He didn't say that on his own. But that means that many people don't know why they're doing what they're doing. In other words, why they're feeling the way they're feeling. That's not now, why do I have this feeling of depression? What's making me down? So, yeah, I don't know. Why do I want to be a doctor? Right? I want to be a doctor. Why do you want to be a doctor? Because you want to save lives, or because you want to make money, or you want COVID. You know, like, do people know what's really causing their feelings. I'll get another example, then I want to get to the point. There's a, I saw this in a Sefer Rav Lesson, he said like this, a great part, tefillah part. He says, you got a guy, I said, and a guy who's a guest of honor, a chosher Rav, he's a guest of honor, and the people are praising him. And he's sitting there, and he's turning colors. He's blushing. He's so embarrassed. They're praising him in public. He's so embarrassed. He's mamish turning 15 colors. Why is he embarrassed? Said, well, because he's such an anav. So Rav Lesson said, if he was an anav, he wouldn't care. You know why he's turning colors? Because he's about gaiva. Right? Meaning what? He said like this. He's sitting there. The guy's, why is he getting embarrassed? Why should you be embarrassed? Because the guy's praising you. If you're an anav, so what? I'm an anav, and the guy's praising me. I don't want him to praise me, but why are you embarrassed? He says, Teres is, you're embarrassed because you're really enjoying it. You're sitting there saying, ooh, keep it up, keep on going. I says, I love this. And then you're saying, oy vey, here I'm sitting in front of 1,000 people, and I'm acting like about gaiva. And I'm enjoying this covet. I'm so embarrassed that I'm acting like a balgaiva in public. So he's blushing. He says, if he wasn't doing anything that he had to be embarrassed about, he wouldn't blush. So he's blushing because he's much better than Trump. Trump wouldn't blush. Ain't no chinami. Trump would just say, keep on going. But he's a balgaiva who's embarrassed that he's a balgaiva. But you have to have a chifa. To understand that, right?
You can't say he's embarrassed because people are drawing attention to him?
So what if they're drawing attention to him? So, if the guy was drawing attention to him in a different way, he wouldn't be necessarily embarrassed.
He's uncomfortable.
But that's not why he's blushing. He's blushing means, blushing comes from embarrassment. And especially the guy's in Rosh Hashiva, he's used to getting up and giving shiurim. You know, it's not like he's always hides in the, depends on the case. But he said, that's what he said. Anyway, the mice, I don't want to get off the tangent. I'm just trying to bring out the point that the Baal Hei Mussar felt that most of us, first of all, we don't know where we're holding. We lie to ourselves. We like to convince ourselves that we're much better than we are. We like to convince ourselves that we have bitachin when we don't have bitachin. We like to convince ourselves that we're doing things in Shem Shemayim when we have ulterior motives. We're not honest with ourselves, right? We said this many times. Hanuch Tower has that great joke, but it's in one of his books that this lady, he goes to, it's not a joke, he tells the story. The lady is on a diet, but she's driving by a bakery shop, so she can't decide, should I go, shouldn't I go? On one hand, I'm on a diet. The other hand, what's so terrible? Sometimes you're not tired of a piece of cake. So she says, listen, we'll let Hashem decide. When I drive by the bakery, if there's a parking spot right in front of the bakery, then it's obviously Min HaShemayim that I'm supposed to go in. Hashem feels it's the right thing for me to go in, and I'll get a bad case of cake. He says, and sure enough, on the fifth time around the block, there's a parking spot in front of the bakery, right? Right? So, she's lying to herself. And she goes, Hashem, it's Min HaShemayim. Right? So people lie to themselves. People don't like to, sometimes where it's tone deaf. There's a lot of reasons why we don't know ourselves. People are, in general, we have an igia to lie to ourselves, like in Hanukkah Tower story. And another story is because people are tone deaf. So if you're tone deaf, then you can't tell that you're off tune. So I don't know that I'm singing off tune because I'm tone deaf. So that's very common. And sometimes it's because it's very, very deep in understanding how people work. So a lot of the Mussar Shmuzim are, this is one of the main themes of many, many Mussar Shmuzim. I don't say all Mussar Shmuzim, but many Mussar Shmuzim, the goal of the Shmuz is to help us understand how, analyze what happened so that we can apply it to ourselves and apply it to others. Now, you can't do it just on one Shmuz because there are very many variables. You have to realize there are, but when you hear enough Shmuzim, so you get all the variables, so then you can, it's like, a doctor, you have, you get more, you know, there could be a lot of different paths. You know, just at one schmooze, you know, there's only, oh, a guy has a sore throat. Oh, I know. I had someone else had a sore throat and he had this. But there's really 25 reasons why a guy can have a sore throat. But, you know, you get enough schmoozing and you get a picture, and then you can be able to hopefully understand yourself and also understand other people. But it's not so easy. Obviously,
why can't you do it through the method of a schmooze?
I don't know. There's a textbook. You have a textbook?
Psychology books out there.
I don't think there's so many Chinuch books out there.
Why don't you
I don't really think there's
what
so many
Chinuch books.
The Chinuch books are not usually do not get to the do on this level.
What about psychology?
Of analyzing the depth. I don't see. In the Chinuch books, will tell you that you want to be, you know, the very, you know, very ABC. But I don't. You rarely see. I'm not familiar. And the ones that do it goofa through schmoozing. It's just like in science. You do it through. You take a case study, and you analyze it. Even psychology books, you know, and it's like school. They're not going to write Steiner psychology books. They would write a case. You would read a case study that so and so, you know, that Freud had a person, and she had different personalities. You know, they don't write. You know, you can't learn just in theory.
You can't just learn get a psychology book.
The difference is we don't necessarily trust psychology books, and also we want to be mekayim. First of all, we don't necessarily trust psychology books because they're not, and two. This way, we get bevas achas and mitzvah Talmud Torah. So we're doing it. You know, we're learning Torah while we're learning psychology and the Musar at the same time. If Lo Yetzor, I would be reading the book of the seven habits or whatever it's called. I don't know. So besides that, let's assume that he's not Krum. I have no idea. But let's say he's not Krum, and there's nothing Krum there. And it's a nice book to read, but it's. You're not getting Talmud Torah. But if you had, no, it's still not Talmud Torah. It can't be Talmud Torah.
It's going to help me do better.
It's still not Talmud Torah. It's not Talmud Torah. But if you read the Mesias Yesharim, it's Talmud Torah because Mesias Yesharim is all based on Chazal. So you want to get the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You also get the Kedusha of Torah, which helps it to work. And the shmuzim are much deeper.
Right.
You know, again, if you really get into the real good shmuzim, regretfully maybe here we don't do the real tifa shmuzim. But as you move on in the world and you get on to bigger and better shmuzim, some of the shmuzim are really tif. And I'm going to try if I get a chance, I'm going
to
try and tell you a tifa shmuz.
But
we'll see if we get there. What time we got? Wait, guy, we don't have time.
Do we have to spend a half hour building up the shmooze when Rebbe could say the shmooze in like 2 minutes and I could go back to Moshe Seder?
Okay, good gosh. Let me go. Please. You're my friend. No. Let me go one thing.
Why do we assume that Chazal like are better at psychology than
because we believe Chazal are better at psychology. I don't hear the question.
They learn Torah.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Anyway, let's go. Let's go. No.
Because
it's not. So, okay. Anyway, so I wanted to go Tifa psychology, which even said from this week's parsha. There is a medrash. Well, I'm not sure where to start. Let's start before the medrash. Shiva said that the human being is, there's such a thing as normal psychology and abnormal psychology. Abnormal psychology means a person's acting a little bit what you would call crazy. He thinks he's a chicken. I don't know. Whatever it is. He says that really the Torah doesn't directly deal with. And really if a person has abnormal psychology, I think Rashi would say he has to go to a psychologist because even if you're a bucky, you're the biggest Talmud Chacham in the Torah, you don't find, unless you're maybe the Gra, hidden in the Torah, you know, it doesn't directly deal. There's everybody in the Torah, we have an axiom. From Haman, I said, Paro, these weren't crazy people. They were Rishayim, but they were normal people. And they're following normal psychology. And we learn from them normal psychology. The guy who's crazy, he's in a different planet. So that's off the Torah. But there are people who are normal, But just because they're normal doesn't mean they're not acting crazy. That's it. There's crazy people. Crazy people that we don't learn, that we can't learn from the Torah about crazy people. They're crazy. The guy's not, you know, it's a crazy person. But a normal person who's acting crazy, that's normal. Right?
Maybe so, psychologists learn, like, train to, for a not normal people?
Maybe they have, yeah.
And they're better than that Torah?
Why doesn't Torah
in that area, we don't, just like if you go, if a guy has a sickness of strep, so you say, is he better? The doctor who serves strep, because he has a sickness. So for a sickness, certain sicknesses, the doctor is not is never studied. So yes, you would go to the doctor instead of and maybe a Chazon Ish is different, but you wouldn't go to a Shiva if you have a strep throat. So the Shiva would say, if your guy has a sickness, he's abnormal psychology. I have no knowledge of abnormal psychology. I never studied abnormal psychology. I only studied the Chumash. The Chumash is dealing with normal people.
Do we think that?
So wait. Let me go. Please. Okay. So anyway, so we have. So the Torah is doing normal people. But normal people, it's normal for normal people to act abnormal. Because people are not computers. People have emotions. And emotions make people act abnormal. So I once asked Rashid, what is the most common a normal person acts in an irrational way, which is the biggest problem that people have. Interesting. In other words, the biggest emotional problem that people have, which is that they're with normal, healthy people. And Rashiva said that he thinks that the biggest psychological problem of abnormal behavior for normal people, I hope I'm being clear, is excess anxiety, fears. You have like this, you have a very normal, healthy person who's afraid to go on an airplane. Right? We have people like that. We had someone here in the neighborhood recently that one of their members of their family got married. And okay, I think the wedding they made by him, that they couldn't attend Shevet Brachas because they couldn't come on an airplane. You have people that are afraid to go on a car. They're afraid to drive. You know, they're afraid. You have people that are afraid to walk out of their houses. They start sweating when they get out of an unfamiliar area. You can have a person who's a great actor, and all of a sudden they get a thing called stage fright. You know, what's that supposed to mean? And he's like, I can't do it anymore. I'm afraid. What do you mean? You're the world's greatest actor. Stage fright. What's that supposed to mean? Right? There's all kinds of variations. Obviously, even to a certain amount, people that are, you know, they check themselves 10 times. It's also a type of anxiety, but, you know, maybe that's a little different. The guy that washes in Tinas Yadayim 5 times. But that's also, you know, and anxiety. But he says excess anxiety, especially which paralyzes a person that he can't function. You have a guy who has a great voice, it's very common, a guy who's a great voice, he's one of the great singers in the yeshiva, and the yeshiva sings Miris, he's gorgeous. You ask him to daven for the Amid, I can't. I mean, you can't. You have like a beautiful voice. I can't. Why not? I'll make a fool of myself. Of course you're going to make a fool of yourself. But everyone else, Tommy, not everyone else. If I would not be able to, I'd make a fool of myself. But that's logical. But you have been one of the best voices in the yeshiva. Why should you? We had a guy in the yeshiva that he wouldn't take an aliyah. I'm afraid I'll make a mistake when I make the bracha. I mean, buddy, it was not a guy in the yeshiva. It was a Baal Bus. It was an older Baal Bus. He was around 70 years old. You've been davening like your whole life for 70 years. You don't make you pronounce your words. You know, he was a guy who went to yeshiva, you know, educated. What makes you think, why are you nervous? You're going to get up to the aliyah. You're going to make a mistake in a bracha. All right? And if you're so worried, so practice. There's this people with fears. That the fears, people, I'm afraid to get up to speak publicly. Right? I can't give a Dvar Torah. I can't speak. You have guys in shir who are afraid to ask a question because other guys in the shir might laugh at me, right? It's also a little bit. Anyway, what he said is that anxieties, fears of things that are sometimes not rational. There's no reason. There was a guy I knew who never got married because he was afraid, you know, how do I know she's the right girl? You know, okay, now that makes sense. I hear a little bit, but you never get married because of that. You're like, you know, you know, there is, you know, how do I know? I only went out with her 25 times, you know. Maybe she's, you know, maybe she's not the right girl. So, and he also, the same guy couldn't get a job because how do I know this is what I want to do with my life? You know. So anyway, that's what she was saying, that the very, very common is fears. So he said that one of the cures, or I don't want to say cures, preventive of fears is this week's parasha. It says in the parasha, the parasha of Vayera, one of the beautiful things in Vayera is that the Medrash has that someone came to Avram Avinu, the Satan kind of disguised himself like an old man, and came to Avram Avinu and tried to convince him not to do the Akedah. So it's a great, for, you know, for learning, because here you have a Medrash which tells you what the Satan says, because that old man was Mr. Satan. So here, everything that he's saying is what the Satan tells people to convince them not to do mitzvahs. So the tremendous, every argument that person used is a tremendous, you know, every one of them, the shmooze on, I think. Okay, anyway. So one of the things that this man said, told Avram, is listen, it can't be that Hashem told you to be do Akedas Yitzchak, right? Because that makes no sense. Because Hashem is a loving God, and Hashem told you to have Yitzchak. It just doesn't make sense. He told you to do Akedas Yitzchak. Must be, Zetman the fun, that you were dreaming. It happens. Sometimes people hear things that they made a mistake. It was a dream, or you misheard, or something like that. Hashem never said it. And either you imagined it, you imagined something, or you were dreaming, and you heard it in a dream, or you know, whatever. But it's not, or you misunderstood. But Hashem never meant it. And you know what? If you kill Yitzchak, not only are you not doing a mitzvah, you're doing a horrendous aveira. You're going to go to Gehenim. You're doing the worst aveira in the world. Killing a son. Killing a tzaddik. This is a tremendous aveira. Right. So Avram Avinu answered, what? I'm an Askein. Which means, okay. Right. We'll do it anyway. So the question the Shiva asked is why didn't Avram, obviously Avram Avinu is only doing it because he's convinced that it's not true. So why did he tell the Satan, you're full of baloney, just stop telling me Bubba Mises and go take a walk? Why is he saying I'm an ass king? So he said a very, very big yesite. You know, this was a very important yesite for many reasons. A human being can never prove anything. It's not possible. We had a guy in yeshiva years ago in the high school that they told me that he had his brother was an apikoris, and his brother was telling him, if you're really a guy, they'll prove it to me. If you can't prove it to me, then obviously it's not true. Right? So everyone knows my story, but I'll say it anyway because I love telling my stories. So I told him that I have a theory that, you know, that I've every... You know, every so often, I put something away. This just happened this week. I came back. I was late for Shabbos. I put something away, safe place. I remember where I put it. I woke up in the morning, and it's not there. It happens all the time. I'm sure it happens to you, too. So how can it be? So I have an explanation that inside of the television, we think the television really is not working. And television really, there's little people inside the television, and they're the actors. And the screen is a magnifying glass that makes see them. And all there's only a radio in there. They're just fooling us. And it's really the radio tells them what to do. And every TV has the same. They're very good actors, so all the TVs are the same. But basically, there's little people in the TVs. And at night, they like doing mischief, and they come out and they stole my paper. Okay, so my next door neighbor's TV. They come into my house from my next door neighbor. Right? So, okay, someone try and schlug. This is what I believe. Schlug me up. Right? You can't schlug me up. What? They're microscopic. You can't see them.
Take a microscope.
You can't see them. And you put a microscope, they won't come out because they're smart enough. They don't want to be detected. So they go around it, you know? They're very smart. They're clever.
TV manufacturer?
What? Apple TV manufacturer? No, they're not on it because they know. They know if they would tell the truth, you would never buy a TV and they'd go out of business. So it's a, it's a, it's a whole. What? It's a whole. What it go again? It's a whole scandal. What's gonna? It's a plot. It's a. What? Conspiracy. The conspiracy and the highest. Biden is behind it, and it is all.
Watch
them
make a TV.
Okay, right. Now, you can't. You can't disprove it, but it doesn't. It doesn't mean it's right. So you can't. You can't. Rashir said on your side that you can't disprove. You can't prove or disprove anything. The only thing you can say is probable. The problem is, most people are not happy with probable, and they want to say for sure. So when you say for sure, so what happens? You think that I want to be confident, 100%. So he says that drive, that I want to be confident, 100%, is what makes people unconfident. Right? Got that? Because what happens? Why are people unconfident? Because it's a 99% on one side and a 1% on the other side. So 99 and 1 is pretty good. But when you want to make yourself sure, so you're focusing on that 1% to knock it down to 0.5%. But you can't knock the 1% down to 0.5%. But meanwhile, because you're spending so much time trying to slug it up, in your mind, it becomes 10%. Because you focus on it so much, right? If they in politics, if there's a person running that you don't want to, you're not supposed to debate him if he's losing. Because by debating him, no matter how much you geschmetter him, you're building him up, right? That's what they say. If he's a these crazy party candidates, third party candidates, you don't debate them, because even you'll make mincemeat out of them. They'll get more votes after the debate, because Kuva, by debating it, you gave it chashivas. So I have this 1% possibility that there's little people on the television. If I'm going to debate it, after I finish debating it, psychologically, I'm going to feel it's 2%, 3%, 4%, because it's emotions. It's not intellect. When you put a spotlight on something, you emotionally feel it more. So I'm afraid to go on an airplane. So that's not rational. Say, okay, you're right. Now I'm going to work on it. I'm going to prove to myself that it's totally not rational, that there's no, that it's crazy to worry about that an airplane will crash. I'm going to study and prove to myself. By doing that, you're convincing yourself more that airplanes will crash. Because at the end of the day, you have not succeeded in convincing yourself that the airplane won't crash. Because airplanes do sometimes crash. You can't prove it's not going to crash. So you didn't succeed. So that itself shakes you up. I tried to prove it. I couldn't prove it. And the fact that you focused it on so much makes you believe it more. This is Rav forgot it, the Rashi from Manchester says that you have people that have sveikas and emunah, they think it's because they're bad people. Very often, sveikas and emunah is because they're good people, because they work so hard in having emunah that they cause sveikas. If they wouldn't have been such big tzaddikim that they wanted to have emunah, they wouldn't have had the sveikas.
So
shouldn't work on
emunah? Wait, let me try and finish, because I'm way over time already. So he said like this, Avraham Avinu knew that if he were to tell the Satan that, no, that you're crazy, then the Satan would say, what do you mean? Go prove it to me, Avraham Avinu. Man, who said it was? I say it was a dream. No, it wasn't a dream. Yeah? How do you know? Right? So the Satan has a retort. If you tell the Satan, listen, you're right. It might be a dream, but we don't go there. We don't worry about that. We don't deal with 1% possibilities. Forget it. I'm an Ascain. Not discussed. You're right. Yeah, you're right. There might have been a dream. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, can't help that. Then there's nothing. Then it's over and forgotten. It's not delved on. The moment you say, no, you're wrong, then you're starting up with a debate with yourself. I say, the Satan is yourself too. So, I say, no, you're wrong. So, the Satan who's in you says, well, I'm not wrong. And then you get a debate. And then you lose out. So the best way, Sri Shiva was saying, a gavaldika thing, that the reason why many, many people have fears, obviously he's not saying the only reason. That would be silly to say the only reason, because life is full of many, many reasons. But the most common reason, let's say, or one of the most common reasons why people have fears is because they think about things too much. They're too overly. In other words, there's a point where it's obviously you're supposed to think before you make a decision. You're supposed to be very, very careful. But there are some people that before you get married, you should think carefully: is this the right girl for me? But a person who thinks too much if this is the right girl is going to become he's going to make himself more and more nervous the more he thinks about it. There's a certain point where it's unhealthy. You have to say, listen, I got amazed. I thought about it. I gave it a normal amount of time. I did a vow in working. The decision, finish, end, weiter. No more thinking. Conclusion. We reached a conclusion. I want to know whether I should learn in this yeshiva or not. Okay, I thought about it. I reached a decision. Finish. I want to know whether I should go into chinuch or go into business. I made a decision. Finish. The more you keep on agonizing over and over the same decision, which many people do, you're just causing yourself to be unsure of yourself. You're not going to be more secure. There's no more information is going to come in sometimes just because you're thinking about it more. Sometimes, yes, but at a certain point, no more information is going to come in. You got all the information. You thought about it for an hour, think about 2 hours, it's not going to make any difference. So you're just raising your anxiety. So he said there's a certain, it's very what Avram Avinu, the Shmuz is, she was saying that from here, you see, one of the ways, obviously it's not the only way. There's much more to it. I'm being very, very bekitzer because I don't know more than this. But he's saying that one of the ways of avoiding excess anxiety, which he said is, he thinks is the most, is, you know, people are stage fright because they're imagining all the things that could go wrong. If you would stop thinking about it, you wouldn't have the stage fright. So you think, is it logical that I'm going to make a fool of myself? It sounds ridiculous. I've been doing this for 20 years. Okay, well, I might. Yeah, of course it could. Anything could happen, right, but it's probably unlikely. Okay, so fine, decided. Then you won't have stage fright. But if you focus and keep on thinking, but is it possible? But maybe I will. No, I don't think I will. I know the lines so well. Let me check myself. Do I know the lines? Yeah, I know the lines. I'm going to do it again. Yeah, you see, I know the lines. And you keep on double checking and triple checking and checking your pocket. It's like, wow, it's still in there. So the more you keep on checking, the more nervous you're getting. Right? So that's what he said. He said the aside of from Avraham Avinu, he felt that was a very, very aside of Sikha Shmuz. Is that from Avraham Avinu, you see, Two yesidus. One is not to get flustered by the fact that you can't prove something, which is a big yesid. Many people get flustered because they can't prove something, because that's normal life. There's nothing in life that you can prove. There's nothing. Nothing in life that you can say 100%. You can't be 100% that this is the right girl for you. You can't be 100% that this religion is right. You can't be 100% that your car is not going to blow up. You can't be 100% that there's not a sinkhole in front when you walk outside. There's nothing you can ever do in life that you can say 100% is going to work out. And that's life. And you have to deal with it. So the first you say is not to get flustered because I don't have 100%. And a guy, you know, he was all flustered because there was something was bothering him. He says, how do I know that the Lubavitcher Rebbe really is not the Mashiach? If it bothered, you know, but, right? That really happened because he was too, you know, thinking about it. Forget it. So that's the first you saw it is don't be upset when you don't know something 100%. You're not supposed to know things 100%. It's not humanly possible to know 100% about anything. Otherwise, my little people from the TV are going to come get you. And the second thing is that at a certain point, when you try too hard to prove something, it's counterproductive. And therefore, it's a much more better, if you really want to work on emunah, the way to go is, listen, I got 95% emunah, that's all. That's what you work with. 95% emunah is great. 95% emunah, people live their lives at 95%. You know, a guy gets married, you know more than 95% that this is the right girl for you. You take a job, you do everything is 95%. So my emunah is also 95%. Okay. That's all. That's the best you can do, and fine.
Well, that's and, that
working on the Muna, I'll say I'm at 95%, and I want to increase it. If I was just remind myself over and over again, instead of like debating so much that
people I don't know, there's different ways of increasing, but maybe if you're just most of his spiders, it's not a problem. But you're going to, at some point, reading proofs could be counterproductive, believe it or not, because, okay, you need your one proof, you need your two proof, but when you already had your 15 proofs, and now you say, but I want more proof, more proof, more proofs, you're just, why you want more proofs? Because I want more proofs, so I should, because I'm still not sure. So you're convincing yourself that you're not sure, and it's unhealthy. Because you already got enough proofs for 95%, 96%, 97%. So, yeah, am I going to get another proof? You think another proof is going to make a difference? You already got 5, 15 proofs. So another proof is going to make a difference from 95 to 95.2. But it's really going to be counterproductive because the fact that you're focusing on I need a proof is convincing yourself that you're not convinced.
But when do you need more? Like,
so sometimes you don't need more.
We said 95% is that's the cut. Like, you don't need more.
I don't know. You have to figure out where you get basing. I don't know the answer. I don't have the number. But I'm saying, but at a certain point, that's one of the reasons. Yes, that it's counterproductive because it's the odds are it's not going to do much, and forget it, it's detrimental because it's just highlighting the fact that there's a hole.
So we say that
emotionally is counterproductive.
So Rabbi Mechanic isn't like doing the right thing by giving these lectures about Emunah?
First of all, you're asking me in public. So, you know, so I'm going to answer that. But there are people that say, yes, you're right. But the answer is that he's doing this for high school kids. And high school kids, okay. But there are, and on some level, it's not necessarily productive.
And he's goofy getting the kids that...
Whatever. They say that there was a person, there was a maisa of a kid in Bnei Brak who was a baby was born. I don't know how old he was, but a baby. And he was saying over Gemara. I think some of the flies that, you know, apparently he didn't forget. And he was saying over Gemara. And they say Rav Chatzkel said his son-in-law went and saw this, went and saw it. You know, it was amazing. Tremendous chizik for Emunah. You know, a 6-month-old baby, and he's quoting Gemara's quote, you know, straight, you know, the whole Baba Astra, you know. So he decided he wants to go. And then he said, no, better not to go. He says, I don't, you know, I have enough Emunah. it's not productive. He decided it wasn't productive to
he's
go
not productive
see.
Because he could go
because he knows no because he doesn't have any doubts
not
so by going to see is saying that I have a doubt. Why am I going to see? I'm going to see because then I'm granting that by going to see this kid then I'm admitting to myself that I don't really believe for sure and I need a proof. All right, so if I'm admitting that I need a proof, then even this proof, I'm still going to feel I need a proof because there's never anything that's really conclusively proof. And then I'm worse off. Well, it's better to say, I don't need a proof. I'm not going because I don't need a proof. It's a waste of time. I know already. That's already beneficial. Really, by saying I don't need the proof, it's beneficial.
Really, last year, a mechanic was here, and we drove into the airport, like a few guys, and like whatever, he was like saying some stuff. And like the rest of my day was a better day. Like I learned better and I thought better. Okay. So you do get SOROs.
Okay, fine. So I didn't say so. You might be still not at that 95%. But at some point, it's not considered, right? Not necessarily be beneficial.
It just comes, like, he reminds you, like, oh, taco. Like.
Okay, so if it's just reminding you, fine.
About Hashem,
I'm fine. Okay, no, if it's just reminding you, that's also fine. That's not bringing you proof, that's just reminding you. Okay, reminding you is always good. Okay, I'm finished. Bye. Thank you.
How do you know when you shouldn't deal with something at all? Like Avram didn't even want to go with Ezra.
Smart.
Like something that you do a little.